There is still more stuff up there. If you want to go up there and get some more, you're welcome to go ahead. I have to say, this has been one of the toughest topics that I've ever had to do. Because Joab, the life of Joab, goes through the whole book of the Second Samuel. So he's a very colorful person, I got to say that much. But Joab was a mighty man of God. He is not numbered as one of the mighty men of David. But it's certainly insinuated that he certainly was a mighty man of God, because he ended up being the captain of the army. Anyways, one thing that you might want to know about Joab is King David's nephew. I didn't know that till I studied this, actually. Actually, four men that are great men of God, or men of might, as they call them in the book of Chronicles, were Joab, Abishai, and Shael. And all three of them are brothers. And they are David's sister's kids. And that was Zeruiah. And I always wondered who Zeruiah was. Well, if you study that, you'd find out who she was. And that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 16. You find out David's family. And in fact, you'll find there that David has, there's seven of them in the family there. And I called Dave Bone the other day, and I said, Dave, was there not eight in the family of Jesse? Because in Chronicles, it says there's only seven. And it numbers them all by number, and it says David, number seven. And he was the last son. And then there's two daughters, Zeruiah and Abigail. And Abigail had a son also, and he also was one of the mighty men. I mentioned that there was four of these boys that were out of David's family. And his name was Amasa. And he was also a mighty man of God. Mighty indeed. So we find here that they worked for David, and they were with him in the wilderness when David was running from Saul for those 7 years. I don't know how many years it was. 40 years, I guess, he was in the wilderness, running away from Saul before he became king. And David wanted to make a commander. So what he said, I'm going to ask you guys. He said, the first one who goes and takes the city of Jerusalem, I will make him commander-in-chief of the army. And in the scripture it says, Joab went forth, and he was the first one to go forth. And that's found in Chronicles 11:6. So Joab went first. So he was not afraid to go forward to make a name for himself. So he went forward, and he became the chief and captain of the armies of David. And David at that time only ruled Judah. Israel was still under the family of Saul, because Ishbosheth, Saul's sons, was crowned king by Abner. And Abner was a mighty man also, mighty indeed, and a great warrior, as it were. And there came a day when there was war between Israel and Judah. And I'm not reading these passages because there's just way too much to read. I may read some of it, but I'm not going to read all of it, because I would be here till tonight, 12 o'clock tonight. So anyway, there was a war between Israel and Judah. And Joab and Abner sat across from each other, and they said, let us have the men get up and fight. So 12 men of of Israel got up, and 12 men of Judah got up, and they all got together. They grabbed each other's beard, and they all stabbed each other, and they all fell dead. I failed to find out what the reason was that in Scripture, because it doesn't make any sense that that happened. But it was called the Day of the Swords, or the Sharp Swords. And so then a fierce war broke out between the two companies. And they were fighting with each other, and Abner was going one way, and Ashael, which is Joab's youngest brother, was chasing him. And he was a light of foot, apparently. And he was able to keep up with Abner. Abner was probably a pretty solid man, I would imagine. Not that fast, but mighty to be feared, to say the least. And he said, are you a Shale? And he said, I am. Are you Joab's brother? And I am. And he says, go and find another young man. He says, don't follow me. And he kept on. He kept straight on chasing Abner. So Abner said, how can I face your brother Joab if I take you to the ground? And he kept going after him. So Abner, being as powerful as he was, just took his spear and went like that. And it went right through him. And he killed a Shale. And a Shale fell right to the ground. Went right through his back. Right from his stomach, right through his back. That's how powerful this man was. I mean, that's a strong man to do that, really. And a Shale died there. And Abishai and Joab chased after Abner. The two brothers chased after Abner all that day. And evening came along, and Abner said, Joab, are you, how long are you going to let this go on? That brethren are killing each other. And he said, had I not heard from you, I would have not stopped this day. And so he blew the trumpet, and they all retreated. And Abner ran through the whole night to Hebron. But Joab was a man who was would take his revenge. He was a vengeful person who would not allow this to go unheard of. He was going to stop this one way or the other, and it was going to be the death of Abner. And he had his vengeance against Abner from that day on. Now, later on, just maybe a year or so later, Abner was talking with Ishbosheth, and they had a falling out. Because he was, Abner was interested in one of Saul's wives. And he said, you can't have her. And they fought over it. And Abner was so ticked off at him, he left. And he said, he went with 20 men to make peace with David. And David said, yes, let's talk. And so he went in and talked with David. And David there made peace with him. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, Abner said to David, he says, you take me in on with you. And he said, I'll bring all of Israel together to you, and all of your heart's desires shall be fulfilled. So that Israel would become one nation instead of two, Judah and Israel. So Abner leaves that day. And just as he leaves, Joab comes in from a war, fighting somewhere, and with great booty. And he's been told that Abner just left. He left in peace. He says, what? And he goes in to see David, and he starts jumping on David. He says, what did you do? He says, what did you do? You didn't chain him up and put him away? He says, don't you know that he's here to spy you out and to find out what's going on here so he can take you down? And David didn't say anything. And Abner stormed out of there. Then Abner told two of his young men, he says, go and chase down Abner and bring him back. Tell him we want to talk with him. So Abner came back, and he met him in the gate, met Joab in the gate. And Joab went over, and he says, I want to talk to you. And he brought him over to the corner. And Joab had his hand, his left hand, on his sword. And Abner didn't see that. And he stabbed him, killed him, murdered him right there in the gate. Well, Abner was a kind of an individual that was kind of careless, because when David was going after, or when Saul was going after David, David went down into the camp one night. They were living in the caves of Adullam. And David said, who will go with me? And he asked Joab and Abishai. And Abishai said, I'll go down with you. So they both went down to the camp, and they're sneaking around in the camp, and everyone's asleep. Abner is the commander of the forces. And he should have been taking care of Saul and had somebody to be watch over everything. Of course, this is of the Lord. But just the point that Abner was a little bit careless. And had he been more careful, because even if you listen to his own words, how then shall I face your brother Joab? He knew that Joab was treacherous. He knew that Joab was a mighty man. He knew that Joab wanted his revenge, because he chased them all that day. And so Joab struck him and killed him, not in a real combat of any sort, just cold-blooded murder. He killed him with a knife or his sword. So he got his revenge. Then we find out that David was really really ticked. He was really mad with Joab. And he pronounces a curse on Joab. Listen to this curse. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, "My kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has discharge or is a leper, or who leans on his staff, or falls by the sword, or who lacks bread." Quite the curse. I mean, that's a lot of things that could happen to your family over the years, and every over the generations, that curse was to be brought on as far as he was concerned. Whether the Lord fulfilled that curse, I don't know. We really don't find out if that happens. But the same is that David was very, very wrathful about it. In fact, David then told the army and Joab, he says, "Tear your clothes," he said, "and put on sackcloth." It was an order, a command. And they did respect David. There was a respect and honor for David and who he was, because he was the one who started the great men of faith, because he was just a young man when he took on Goliath. And the armies of Israel were shaking in their boots, but he was the only one that went forth. Now, these other guys were young at the time, probably, because, let's face it, that's their uncle. So he had to be a bit older than them. And he went against Goliath, and he killed Goliath. But then these other guys, they started saying, "You know what? Yeah, we have the Lord on our side." And they all started taking up the spear and the sword, and they went after these giants. And they all, one at a time, went after them. One guy killed 3,000, another guy, or 300 rather, another guy killed 200. And they did all these things, these mighty works of God, through the acts of honor and bravery that they did. But David was angry, and he wrote a dirge? I can't say it. But anyways, about Abner, that he was sorry that Abner got killed. He said, "Abner is a great man. He died as a fool, as it were." But Joab remained faithful to his uncle, David. In spite of what David said about him and everything, Joab remained faithful. Because just a few years later, David ends up in an affair with Abigail. And was it? No, Bathsheba, excuse me. Yes, right. Bathsheba. And then he wanted to kill Uriah. So he writes the letter and he gives it to Uriah, and Uriah brings it back to the war front. And he didn't read it. He was an honest man. He was a man of honor. He took the king's letter. He gave it to Joab and went into his tent. That next day, they went out to the battlefield, and Joab read the letter. It says, "Put him out in the front where there's much war, and then retreat from him." Joab didn't ask any questions. Just did it right away. The next day, Uriah's dead under Joab's commission. Joab was really faithful to David, but faithful to a flaw. It was wrong for him to do that. He should have asked questions. He should have questioned the king as to why one of our own would be killed like this. And he didn't. He let it go on. And so he killed him. Then later on, now where am I? I got so much notes here. I got too much notes. I put it all in here. That's why I'm going on the way I am. Later on, after that, Joab takes the city of Ammon, and it's Reba or something is the name of it. And just as he's getting ready to take the city, he said, "We've got the water supply and everything." He says, "Get down here with the army, the rest of the army, lest my name be on this city and not yours." So you see, he was still honoring his uncle. Instead of making a name for himself, he wanted his uncle, King David, to get the glory and to have the name of the city after him. And so David musters up the armies, and they go down there, and sure enough, they take the city, and the city goes under David's name. And Joab was right, okay with that, you know. And so that was all right. Then Joab sees that after a while, there was another issue that happened in King David's life, where because of the promise that God said that because he killed Uriah, that the sword would never leave his home. And Ammon was killed by Absalom. So Absalom ran away because Ammon had raped his sister. So Joab, seeing the king sad for days and days and days because Absalom had left and was in exile. So Absalom has a plan. And he gets some woman, a wise woman in town, and she goes before the king and makes this whole story up about her son. And King David says, "For surely I will bring back your son." And then she says, "You would do that for me, but not for your own son," she says. And she starts, she said, "Who put you up to this?" He right away knew it was Joab. So right away the king says, "Tell Joab it's all right. Bring back Absalom." So Joab goes and gets Absalom and brings him back. And Absalom comes back to his father and everything's hunky-dory again. But little did David know that Absalom was now going to rebel against his father. And just in a few short years, he was going to bring a rebellion against the king and to try and kill his own father. Well, David flees Jerusalem and goes over the river. And there they are in exile themselves. All of his mighty men, Joab and all of them. And they're all over there. And then there's a war that breaks out between Israel and what would be considered Judah, because Judah was still faithful to David. Well, no, they weren't. Sorry about that. Made that mistake. Judah was faithful to Absalom. They actually left David because Absalom won their hearts. So there's a war that breaks out between David's men and Absalom's men. And one guy finds Absalom hanging in a tree with his hair, because he had a lot of hair. So the story goes, let's read it, 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 11. I want to read this because this is important what's said here. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 10 through 13. Let's read it. "Now a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in the terebinth tree. So Joab said to the man who told him, 'You just saw him? Why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt.' But the man said to Joab, 'Though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not have raised my hand against the king's son.'" Now there's a smart man. You don't raise your hand against the king's anything, especially his son, because the king's word is the king's word. If he would have found out that some other guy killed his son, he'd be on the chopping block. And he knew it. And then he goes on to say, "For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, 'Beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom.'" He didn't really say that. He just said, "Be easy with that boy and save his life," basically. But anyways, look at the next verse, verse 13. "Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life, for there is nothing hidden from the king." So the king would have found out that he would have killed his son when he was hanging in the tree there. And he didn't think he had the guts to do that because he didn't want to face the king, and the king would take his life. He falsely against his own life. But listen to what he says. "And you yourself would have set yourself against me." In other words, Joab can't be trusted. The men that he worked with didn't trust Joab because he was treacherous. He was vicious in his zeal. And he didn't care who he walked over. And it's true, because you can read, as you read on, we'll find out here a little bit more here. And so he goes over and he kills Absalom. Now, because Absalom was killed, David gets back into his kingdom. But Judah had divided itself against the armies that David had. So David wants to win them back. He doesn't like Joab because Joab just killed his son. That's twice now that Joab stepped out of line and did something he didn't want him to do. He didn't want him to kill Abner, and he didn't want him to kill his son. So he wants him out of there. Doesn't want him as the commander. So what does he do? He says, I will now install Amasa, Joab's cousin, first cousin, his mother's sister's kid. They're cousins, first cousins. Now, these guys grew up together, okay? He said, I will install him, he says, to be the ruler of the armies of Israel. And so that by doing that, those who were in Judah said, oh, that's a good idea. Because Absalom made Amasa their leader, their commander-in-chief, as it were, underneath Absalom. So, oh, that's good. So that put the armies together again. So they're all one nation again. So David's thinking. He's got his brain on. But he wants to get rid of Joab. But you know what? I think David feared him because Joab was treacherous, dangerous man. And so David says to Amasa a few days later, he says, go and gather all the army of Judah together. He says, and meet me in this certain place in 3 days. So he goes out. Amasa goes out. And they're waiting. Meanwhile, David says to Joab, he says, you better get this guy Sheba, because Sheba was speaking out against him. And Sheba was raising a ruckus. And Sheba was a rebellious guy. And he says, if you don't stop this guy, he'd be worse. Our fate would be worse than what Absalom did. So Joab goes out after him. And sure enough, they find him in a city. And they're going to tear the city apart to get at him, because it's a walled city. And the one woman is wise in the building. And she says, Joab, where are you? And Joab comes up and he says, what are you here for? And he says, I'm here for Sheba. She says, if we give him to you, what else? Would you kill the mothers of Israel? And he said, no, just Sheba. She says, his head's coming over the wall in a few minutes. That's what it was like in those days. That's what it says. I mean, So anyways, his head goes over the walls. Joab blows the trumpet. They leave the city. Everything's hunky-dory. So another man murdered by Joab. But Joab's going to finish his job. But on the way, Joab sees Amasa coming. It's 4 days, not three. The armies haven't come together to talk, like King David had said. And he walks over. He says, how's everything, brother? He says, everything good? And he says, yeah. And he grabs him by the cheek. He's always going to give him a kiss and pulls his beard in. And he gives him one of these. Puts a knife into him. And he killed him. Another man that Joab killed. This guy was totally oblivious to what was going to happen to him. He was his first cousin. He kills his first cousin in cold-blooded murder. Left him there to wallow, as it were. So he was killed as well. Finally, it's Joab's turn. And King David, let's read that.
We have time?
Yeah, we have a little bit of time. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. I better look that up. I don't have it in my papers here. Oh, boy. I hope I'm not losing you guys. They're trying to keep it together, but like I said, there's not enough time to read everything. Chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. And it says there, King David's talking to his son Solomon. Moreover, you know also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed, and he shed the blood of war in peacetime and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist and on his sandals that were on his feet. Now, did I say six? Yes. Therefore, do according to your wisdom and do not let his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. So David wants to make sure that this guy Joab gets his just deserts. Now, Joab did a mighty, he was still faithful to David all along. And I forgot one point there, too. I should go back 1 second. one point there that I forgot that Joab did, and that is Joab, David was going to count the people in the end of his life, near the end of his life. And Joab says, what are you doing that for? Don't do that. Don't do that. And he says, God has blessed us. Don't do this. And he argued with David, and David prevailed. And they went and made Joab go out and count the people. And Joab left, and he counted the people. 70,000 men in Judah and Israel died that day because he counted the men. But had he listened to Joab, 70,000 people would not have died. But it was of the Lord, because they were trusting in their strength now more than they were in the Lord. And that's what it says in the scriptures there, if you read that passage. So anyways, now when Joab found out that he had gone on the wrong side when King David passed away, and he went over to, what was the name? I forgot, I didn't write it down here. One of the sons of David, the first son of David, I can't remember his name. I had it here, but I forgot it. But anyways, he went over to his sons to make him king. And they were drinking and feasting. And meanwhile, the priest of King David made Solomon the king. So Solomon became king. And now Joab's fearful for his life because Solomon's the king. David's gone. And he's fearing for his life because he was just trying to make somebody else king. And so Joab goes into the temple, grabs hold of the horns of the altar and hangs on there. And they tell Solomon, Joab's inside the temple, he's hanging on there. He says, Benaiah, go in there and strike him with the sword. And he went in there and he stuck him and he's dead. That was the end of Joab. So that's the life of Joab. That's how colorful his life is. I mean, that's as good as it gets right there for a guy that was like that. So what can you get out of that? What can you get out of that? I mean, you can't preach the gospel from that. So I sit and go, I learned all this stuff. Now, what am I going to say about that? Well, there are some positive things. One, be faithful. He was a faithful man, faithful to the Lord, because on two occasions, at least we know where he counted the people, he said, don't count the people, trust in the Lord. He told David that. So he was faithful to the Lord. And there was another time when he was fighting against an army, and they went to fight against the army, and they took the Syrians in. And so they were covered from behind and in front, and they were surrounded. And Joab looks at his brother and Ittai, and he says, you take this guy, you take that guy, and I'll take these guys, and I'll go after the Syrians, you go after them. And he says, and may the Lord bless us and help us. It is the Lord's war. You see? So he was faithful to the Lord. He knew who the Lord was. But, okay, we'll go on. So that's one thing. Even though he's ruthless, he was still faithful to the Lord. He also was faithful to King David in every way. He followed David. He wanted David to stay up there. He honored his uncle in every way. In fact, I would have to say that Joab was probably instrumental in making sure that David stayed on the throne. He was very, very good at his job, and that's what he did. He cared for David. Well, kind of did that. Okay, negatives. Here's the negatives. Number one, he was vengeful to a flaw. I mean, he was vengeful. I mean, there was no let bygones be bygones. Certainly his brother was killed, but it was in a time of war. And it happens that people do get killed in times of war. But you don't go and murder somebody that is in peacetime. And David was very, very angry about that. And then Amasa, his cousin, was one day late in bringing in the armies. Well, Joab was a guy to get things done. If the king would have said to Joab, get them down here in 3 days, they'd have been there in 2.5 days. That's how he was that faithful. He was that kind of a guy. He was a mover. He kept on going. But Amasa didn't, so he killed him. This is another great man, a mighty man. He goes down in the Chronicles as a mighty man of God. And he was stabbed, murdered by Joab. That's a negative. It was to a fault. And then Joab also was untrustworthy to his companions. Because of this, this one guy that said, "If I would have killed David's son, you too would have put your bid against me, and you would have had me put to death." That's what he's saying. So he knew that David, that Absalom, Joab was a guy that you couldn't trust. You don't turn your back on him. Abner should have known that. In fact, how can I face your brother, he said. Meanwhile, then he lets his guard down, and he got killed for it. And Amasa should have known that he was like that when he saw him. Should have been careful with him, but he didn't, and he lost his life too. So anyways, the idea is here, if you have ambition and you want a job, don't kill those ahead of you to get that job. Okay? That's a good idea, right? Don't kill anybody. Okay? Be trustworthy to the Lord. Be faithful to Him. Trust Him in all that you do, because He is faithful. And you end up being with a bad name. Joab is kind of a funny guy. He's kind of got a good name, but yet he's got a bad name. He was helpful and he wasn't helpful. What do you do with that? I just had a hard time balancing this guy. Maybe you can tell me more if you know more, but that's the whole story of Joab. That's his life. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for these stories. We see how that the kingdom of Israel was to grow. We see how David's mighty men went about doing things, and we stand in awe. We just can't imagine these things happening the way they did. And yet we know that the scripture says it and we believe it. And Lord, you cause things to happen in certain ways. We know that one day Abner will be in, we'll see Abner in heaven. I believe he'll be there. And I believe that Amasa will be in heaven as well, and even Joab. And we'll see these men. We will even hear their stories more accurately. But Lord, help us, Lord, to not follow the bad things that Joab did, but the good things, the being faithful, the being honoring to you. And so help us, Lord, to grow in faith in you and to take the examples of the good things that we see in scriptures and to beware of the bad things, that we make a bad name for ourselves if we do the wrong things. And so we end up in the Chronicles, as it were, as being bad. A terrible thing. So just help us, Lord, to honor you and to be honest and good in all that we can do for you. In Jesus' name, our Lord. Amen.